Thank you, Brother David. I appreciate those kind words of introduction. I am nervous. I probably rival Brother Brockman as far as which one of us is more nervous when we start to preach. But good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to see you all here this morning, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't imagine two better songs that we could have sung this morning that would go along with my sermon. A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. We do have a weary land these days. My brother Kevin did a good job of pointing that out to us in Sunday school this morning. And if all of you had been here for Sunday school this morning, I wouldn't have to stand up here and preach. We could just go to lunch right now. He didn't cover everything, but the theme of his comments this morning certainly complement, I hope, what I have to preach about this morning. He talked about things that have been happening in this weary land lately, and I'm not going to rehearse all those. We know the things that have been going on, the sad things that have happened in this land. We ask ourselves, why? Why are these things happening in this land we love, this America, this choice land? I think a real short answer is found in Matthew 24, the 12th verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity does abound, brothers and sisters. And we see in some of the things that we see in this land happening, the love of many is waxing cold. It doesn't say all, it says many. We know many people that are following Jesus Christ and trying to do the best they can in following his words. I put a title on my sermon this morning. I don't know if it makes much sense, but the title I've come up with is Let Us Examine Ourselves. Let us examine ourselves, and then let us prepare ourselves. Let us examine ourselves, and then let us prepare ourselves. And I'd like to start out just reading some verses out of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm not going to read any verses today that you haven't heard 100 times probably. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'd like to read the first 8 verses. This is our brother Paul's comments to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, and these comments he makes to the church, starting in verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. If we truly believe that we are living in the last days, and of course the signs are all around us, shouldn't our spiritual preparation be at the top of our to-do list? I tend to be a procrastinator. But lately I've been trying to take stock more honestly of where I stand with the Lord. And I'm sure as I do that I'm found wanting. And I do that because, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I do it because I can see the day approaching. We can all see that day approaching. The signs are all around us. But yet I'm sure that I'm found wanting when I look at my preparation, as I examine myself. I found much that needs improvement. It's also important to remember that we don't know when or by what means we will meet the Lord. We don't know how we're going to meet the Lord. We have a song that we sing, number 319, I know whom I have believed. It's found in the scriptures. I know whom I have believed. Verse 5 of that song says, I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. Brother Kevin referred to that this morning without using the same words. We don't know. We don't know if we're going to be on this earth when the Lord returns or if he has other plans for us to call us home sooner. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, you don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, whether you are keeping the commandments of God, whether you are being his obedient children. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Jesus Christ is in you. You are not reprobates. But examine yourselves. Are you doing the things that the Lord has commanded us to do? I'm going to start out using some words in Luke as a text this morning. I'm going to go to Luke, go with me to chapter 12. Chapter 12 in Luke. I'm going to start with verse 16. This is a parable of our Lord, starting with verse 16. And I'm going to go, first of all, through verse 21. And he, Christ, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Where is our treasure? Is it here on the earth, or is our treasure in heaven? Skipping down to verse 39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. He surely will cometh at an hour when we think not, if we're not prepared. We don't know when we're going to be called home of the Lord. None of us knows that. Some of us in this room, I feel confident, will be standing when the Lord returns. Some of us won't. But whatever stands before us, wherever we meet the Lord, whenever we meet the Lord, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves because we don't know. Does the name Aaron Langhofer mean anything to you? Are you familiar with the name Aaron Langhofer? Aaron Langhofer, her funeral was yesterday. She was 25 years old. She was a social worker working with victims of domestic violence here in Kansas City. Last Friday evening at some kind of a celebration they call First Friday, Aaron Langhofer was there with her boyfriend, standing innocently in a crowd of people, enjoying the music probably, enjoying the camaraderie, when somebody decided to take out a gun and start shooting at someone they had a beef with, shot at least 9 or 10 rounds into a crowd of people at an intended target, and one of his bullets hit Aaron in the head, killing her. Aaron didn't expect, I don't think, to meet her Lord that Friday night a week ago. But I hope she was prepared, because none of us knows. And we hear of so many things. If you watch the local news, these kind of things are happening day after day, night after night. Aaron Langhofer had a bright future in front of her. I don't know whether she and her boyfriend were planning to be married, if they were talking about raising a family, but it's not going to happen. The Lord decided to take her home last Friday night. None of us knows when we'll be called home. I'm going to stay in Luke, but go back to chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. I'm going to read verse 57 through verse 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I think the Lord is telling this man that if you do follow me, it's not going to be a life of ease. It's not going to be an easy life if you follow me. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me first go and do this. Let me first go and do that before I follow after you. Is the Lord first in our lives, or do we make excuses to take care of other things that seem to be more important to us first? There's an old saying that tomorrow never comes. The Lord needs to be first in our lives at all times. And we can't afford to make excuses that the other things are more important to take care of first. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I read some of this on Wednesday night, last week. James chapter 4, starting with verse 4, going through 10. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Are we yielding to the will of the Lord? Do we put him first? Do we yield? Do we repent of our sins and accept his correction? He wants to correct us, but we have to repent and we have to yield to him. He tells us to resist the temptations of the adversary, to follow after him, put him first. I'm going to go down to verse 13 in James chapter 4. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Examine ourselves. Our journey through this life has many trials and is often a struggle. However, we are called to repent when we fall short, and the Lord would have us to place our complete trust in him. Not to put our trust in the arm of flesh, but to put our complete trust in him and endure to the end, whatever we have to endure. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting with verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, maybe that's why he lets these things go on in the world that we find so discouraging and things we don't like. the Lord is long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that we know that all these things are going to come to an end, and that we might be living in that day when all these things come to an end, what manner of persons ought we to be? Should we not be examining ourselves, repenting of the things that we need to repent of, coming closer to God? Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Examine yourselves and make the changes that you need to make. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. We may at times become discouraged, but we need to remember where our help comes from when we fall short. I'm going to go in the Book of Mormon to 2 Nephi. This is on page 92. Second Nephi chapter 3. This is our brother Nephi telling us that he is a man, that he has weakness. I kind of compare this chapter of 2 Nephi to what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7. Those things that I would not do, those I do. Those things that I would do, those I don't. Isn't that the way of us humans? Well, I'm gonna read in 2 Nephi chapter 3, starting with verse 30. Verse 30 through 34. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord, and showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. I know in whom I have believed. Hymn number 319. We are to trust only in God, not in the arm of flesh. I'm going to skip over to verse 41. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. O then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? And why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? When we as believers, when we yield to a temptation, we cannot have peace. If we know that we are sinning and we're yielding to a temptation, we cannot have peace. Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul. No longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Examine ourselves and take the needed action. At those times when we have become disobedient, or our hearts have become too hardened, the Lord has need to correct us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to start with verse 5. Verse 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, the Lord, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Will we accept the Lord's correction? Or are we too proud? Are we too rebellious? Or will we receive his correction? I'm going to go to Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Starting with verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, meaning excesses of this life, surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Lord commands us to watch and prepare ourselves so that we will be ready and waiting for his coming. Satan desires to have us. You know, Satan wants to keep us so distracted, so busy, so focused on the things of this world that we won't have time to prepare ourselves, and we will be caught as in a snare. I've used this little acronym before, but the word busy is an acronym that some would say stands for burdened under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y, burdened under Satan's yoke. And sometimes we get that way. If we're so focused on the things of the world, the cares of this life, our everyday cares, that we don't put the Lord first. And we find ourselves unprepared, and we find ourselves not watching for for the things that are coming. I'm going to close with a couple of readings. The first out of 1 Nephi chapter 7. This is found on page 75. 1 Nephi chapter 7, page 75. I'm going to start with verse 34 through 37. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore, the Lord will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. (clears throat) 37. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. And where will the righteous be when the wicked are being destroyed by fire? I believe the Lord's people will be delivered. They will be preserved in Zion. Our deliverance will be in Zion. Verse 41. For behold, the righteous shall not perish, for the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off, and the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people. Our deliverance will be in Zion. The Lord will deliver the righteous. And if we are found among the obedient righteous, we need not fear the things that are coming upon the earth. Pray for the cause and the establishment of Zion according to the Lord's will. Prepare your hearts, examine yourselves, and pray for the coming of Zion. I'm going to close with a reading out of the Book of Commandments. I've read these verses before, but they seem to be more and more appropriate as we see the things that are coming on the earth, that are coming even in this land, the El Pasos, the Daytons, the First Friday celebrations. These words ring true, I believe. Book of Commandments, chapter 48, I'm going to read verses 59 through 67. And it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it. And it shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven, and it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible, wherefore we cannot stand. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations, and shall come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. The righteous shall be gathered. Pray for the gathering of the Lord's people. Pray for the establishment of that righteous city of the Lord's people and for the Lord's people. You know, I believe there will be many gathered during the time of gathering to Zion. You know, I mentioned Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, citing the reason that we see so many of these things happening. It's because iniquity shall abound. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The key word there is many. It doesn't say all. There are many people in this world, in this land, that are looking for the truth. They see the things happening in the world. They see the things happening in this nation as well as we do. There'll be many gathered when the gathering times comes. It won't just be the house of Israel. It won't just be the pure in heart of the restoration. It will be the pure in heart of many that will gather to this wonderful, righteous city of the Lord. I thank you for your kind attention this morning. And may the Lord bless us all in the days that lie ahead, that we will examine ourselves, that we will prepare ourselves for whatever comes before us, because he has said, the righteous need not fear. I thank you.